Today is Monday, June 13th. This is episode 188.
Countless Screaming Argonauts is brought to you by Shane Ryan and Seth Curry Saves Duke, a blog featuring sports analysis on the country's two most hated teams, the Duke University Blue Devils and the New York Yankees.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. I'm T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Pintail.
And I am Denali.
Hey, Denali, welcome.
Hi, thanks. How are you guys?
Oh, we are just peachy. We are just wonderful.
Old and tired. Old and in the way?
Good song.
Is that where I got that from? I didn't realize it was a song.
Oh, boy. See that? It took 20 seconds.
Is that Pink Floyd?
No.
Did I say something stupid again? What is it? Who is it?
See, now you got me. Isn't that... I'm going to Google it in a minute.
Yeah, well, don't be blasting me about what I don't know if you don't know it either.
Oh, forget that.
Anyway, today, to open the show... we're going to talk about Tracy Morgan. I'm not sure when he said this.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this, Denali?
I am.
Right.
I've had a number of calls in the last few hours.
Well, what I read, and he said if he had a son that was gay, quote, he better come home and talk to him like a man, or he would pull out a knife and stab the little end to death. That's how it's written in the interwebs.
Perhaps a bit of an overreaction, do you think?
Well, that's the statement. Now, he was, to be fair, working in a comedy club, and from what I understand, comedians often try to work out a routine in a club, and he was doing stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
This caused an uproar with NBC Entertainment, and Robert Greenblatt said, I speak for NBC and myself personally when I say we do not condone or hate violence of any kind, and I'm pleased to see Tracy Morgan has apologized for his recent homophobic remarks in his stand-up. And Tina Fey said, stand-up comics may have the right to work out their material in its ugliest and rawest form in front of an audience. But the violent imagery of Tracy's rant was disturbing to me at a time when homophobic hate crimes continue to be a life-threatening issue for the GLBT community. It also, this is the best part of all. It also doesn't line up with the Tracy Morgan I know, who is not a hateful man and is generally much too sleepy and self-centered to ever hurt another person.
Well, you know, interestingly, you know, this isn't like, you remember that, I can't remember the actor's name, the guy from Seinfeld who did that homophobic rant.
Newman, what's his name?
No, Kramer. No.
Kramer, sorry. Yes, I beg your pardon.
You know, so this isn't the same, the same sort of thing.
Well, is it or is it not? I mean, it's bigotry. It's all bigotry, right?
I think he was going for shock humor.
You're telling me Morgan's not homophobic?
Well, I have a quote from him in his apology. I know how bad bullying can hurt. I was bullied when I was a kid. I am sorry for what I said. I didn't mean it. I never wanted to use comedy to hurt anyone. People who support and love their kids no matter what. People should support and love their kids no matter what. Gay people deserve the same right to be happy in this country as everyone else. Our laws should support that.
It's not a matter of bullying. I'm sorry, Max. You go ahead.
Well, no. I was just finishing. That's fine.
So you're telling me that Tracy Morgan's not homophobic?
Well, I'm hoping that.
Well, I think the apology, whether it's from Jason Giambi or Tracy Morgan, is wonderful after the fact. And it's crafted by a PR person, and it's meant to do all the right things, and it's backtracking at 1,000 miles an hour.
It is.
And I understand he was in the middle of his stand-up routine, and sure, I don't disagree. They try things out. But I'm sorry, that nigger's crazy.
Well, and that's interesting you say that, because they did a thing on 60 Minutes last night about taking the word nigger out of Mark Twain. And they had teachers for it and against it. And this one guy, a college professor and black, said, I have everybody in my class say it 6 or 7 times. Get used to it. I think it is relevant. Am I wrong?
No, I was going to say, I think you're right. The issue or the problem for me is that obviously in the case of Twain, I don't think you can touch it because it's literature, it's there, and it's there for a reason. It should be used as a lesson in how society has changed over time. But a comedy club routine, you know, I mean, if a guy's up in front of an audience in a comedy club and makes fun of women, does that mean that he's sexist? If he's making fun of firemen, does that mean he's anti-fireman or anti-police or whatever? I mean, you know, I don't think it means that. But I also agree with you, Denali. It was, in fact, a well-crafted, wonderful apology that said all the right things and put things, you know, crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. Mm.
Tracy Morgan's statement said, I'm an equal opportunity chop buster. He said, I'll rip anybody. But when you get to the point where you're talking about your own kid's orientation, I just think it's really close to the bone. But here's the thing. Tina said, I think it was Tina that said, Tracy's a little off. So I give what he says as much credit as something said by, and get this, Gary Busey or Flavor Flav. And I loved both of those references. I thought they were both great.
I think that's right.
It's a shame.
Tracy Morgan is also the man who on national television said that he masturbated to Sarah Palin pictures.
She's very attractive.
I knew you would say that, Max. But I mean, you know, so again, I guess that means he's anti-politician too, I guess.
No, I think he's pro-Republican. I mean, imagine what he does with Michelle Bach.
I don't think that Tracy's, you know, voted ever, really. I would kind of doubt it.
And if he did, his first vote was for Barack Obama.
yeah, true.
Do you remember, this may not be relevant to our audience, but Don Rickles, and he used to just hate on everybody. And I always thought, he's just a mean bastard. I never thought he was funny.
Well, you know, again, that was that style of humor. He wasn't the only one who practiced that either.
Right, but he was plenty the worst.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on a point, Penguin, that you brought up, which I wanted to extend on. And that's the idea when we were talking about Mark Twain. You were saying that he is – it's literature. And I think another point is that it's established. Whereas – and see, I think the N-word has migrated from just general hateful under-the-breath muttering – to being raised to a George Carlin 7 words kind of level. And I think when Twain wrote it, it was just common parlance. It was local color, no pun intended. And now, because homosexual issues are so prevalent and so on in the forefront that everybody is sensitized to them, it's a lot more forgivable for Mark Twain to write about Nigger Jim than it is for Tracy Morgan to make hateful jokes at a time when people are trying to, you know, recognize the equality of everybody.
Right, but I also don't think that Mark Twain needs to be apologetic or apologized for saying what he said, because it was the local tolerance. It was the norm of the day.
In the foreword of Huck, he says, "I'm writing in the language that the people speak."
Oh, so he did. He did.
Oh, absolutely.
Then, yeah, you have to leave that. I do think the word, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not the right one to judge, has taken on more power over the year.
I think the media of the last 20 years has given it focus. I don't know if I would use the word power, but I know that you are both professional sports fans. So do either one of you have a comment as to why the NBA is the N-word factory of late? It's crazy.
I don't watch the NBA a lot.
I think it's a cultural thing for the NBA.
Clearly it is.
Well, and this professor that I saw last night was saying, yeah, I can say that, and he was using the version that ends in an A, and he said it's entirely dependent on the intent and the inflection, and that people can gather that. And that's the thing that's always bugged me. There is so much more to verbal communication than just the letters in the word.
I misspoke about the NBA. I did not mean an N factory. The problem in the NBA was the use of the term faggot.
Oh.
Where two people had been seriously fined. And then the question was, well, if you fine Kobe Bryant and Joachim Noah the same amount of money, for Kobe, it's a drop in the bucket. For Noah, it's a serious paycheck. But I think you're right. My friend's daughter says there's a huge difference between ending it with ER and ending it with A.
Yeah.
But you know what? I also don't think that you can depend on inflection or intent all the time. Because you're not going to get that clarity unless it's written down.
I disagree.
If I'm standing 3 feet from you and you are using the term, I see your face, I hear your context, I hear your voice. I think it makes a big difference.
That's what I'm saying. The closer you get to a person in the conversation, that phone is closer than text, and in person is closer than phone. Every step closer, you're getting more information.
I hear what you guys are saying, and all I'm going to say is that I know that people say after they're quoted, after they're recorded on tape, saying that's not what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
And going to, you know, depend on how the word sounds, and you're going to use cues from, you know, whether they're animated or whether they're upset or mad or whatever, I don't think that that's a real clarity of message. I don't think that you can depend on that.
Well, it informs your understanding. It doesn't always clear it up.
I would agree to that. Yeah, you're right. It does in some ways it does help, but it doesn't clear it up.
The NBA finals are over now, and LeBron James this morning's said, or yesterday said, something on the order of, all the haters are going to have to go back to their job in a few days, and I'm still going to live my life. That's a re-quoting. It's not a quote.
Well,
but
he said a lot worse than that. He number one, played the God card.
Yeah?
And yeah, he said, you know, God will, you know, God knows when my time is. So evidently, you know,
God's an NBA fan.
God currently loves Dirk more than Chris Bosh. And I really, really hope he's got better things to do than deal with Game 6. Holy cow. But LeBron said, you know, referred to the haters as losers. And he said that they would still have the same personal problems tomorrow.
Right, like, but
I'm
that's
sorry,
the
LeBron,
quote.
I don't like you because you're an arrogant cuss and you bailed in the finals.
Well, my point was that the understanding was a misunderstanding of what he said. Maybe everybody knows what he said. I'm not sure.
I think he's had to defend his decision from the get-go. And the reason he had to defend it was because it didn't make sense, and he didn't make sense talking about it. And ESPN and him made such a big deal out of it. And
oh, yeah.
Then it just snowballed from there.
Well, that's a story about arrogance. He's, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach, and did it on a TV show.
And that's what it is, and that's what people respond to, that arrogance.
Don't like
but
arrogance.
Please don't blame ESPN.
No, I'm not blaming ESPN, but they were a part of it.
No, they know good TV, and they put it on.
I didn't watch it, so I shouldn't say I don't think it was good TV. I'm sure it was a bad idea for him, and I'm sure he was ill-served by his people who told him it was a good idea.
Yeah, so, Denali, you don't think that ESPN has any culpability in that?
Their job is to sell. Well,
they're culpable of being a damn savvy network. ABC could have gotten it, although there is no more ABC Sports.
Right, it's all ESPN.
It is ESPN. You know, anybody could have taken that. I mean, hell, Fox could have taken it if they wanted it, but and I don't know. I mean, why wasn't it on BET? And I'm not being a wise guy. I'm really not.
No, he could have. He definitely could have had a half-hour show anywhere. But all it was him talking about his talents and his future and
how he was going to win 5 or 6 championships.
Right. And then they went out and did a 3-star stand-up with sparklers, you know, and it just appeared to be arrogance. And you know, people love to see the mighty fall. And he went from being, and this is the amazing thing, maybe the most loved professional athlete in the country to being maybe the most hated professional athlete in the country. And if you're the sports agent for the guy that does that, you failed.
Except that when he signed his contract, you get your 4% or your 8% or whatever you get as his agent.
But you're not you're not getting 6% of his Sony money.
Right, we had a discussion today. The next time Coca-Cola rolls around, I don't think they're
No.
It's so big.
That 30 minutes cost him a lot of money. What's next?
Well, Max, you're on a roll. What else you got for us tonight?
I've got the psychometer from the Huffington Post because I claim to be a liberal. Unfortunately,
okay.
I've got to load it. The most psycho, the psychometer, lowest on the list today is delusional but harmless Governor Scott Walker, who changed the painting from the plight of the homeless to an American eagle because it's bad enough he was going after the workers. Now he's going after the poor. We love to hate Scott Walker on this podcast, Denali.
We do because he's an idiot.
Well, I think there's something about one pointing out one idiot at a time. Right there on the homepage, boys and girls.
That's our show.
That's right. Next on our list is Rance Priebus, who was all over Anthony Weiner, so to speak, but wouldn't say a bad word about David Vitter. And in case the audience doesn't know, Anthony Weiner showed his wiener, and we've been having a lot of fun, Denali, with Anthony's wiener. And we've been wondering why people aren't more upset about David Vitter screwing his assistant and paying off her husband.
You know, to me it's more European. You know, the money changed hands and so on. And I think it does have to do with the Wiener situation. It didn't supplant the headline. It wasn't time for its news cycle. If it had happened 2 weeks later or 2 weeks earlier, it might be very different.
The David
Vitter
thing?
So much. Yeah, there's only so much Charlie Sheen we can take in one news cycle.
That's a really interesting point. We've had a lot of Charlie Sheen, and I hate to say his 15 minutes of fame is over.
You know, just to, you know, Max, you and I had a lot of fun with Wiener in general. But, you know, it appeals to everybody because it makes such a great topic of discussion.
Because
it's right there. Right. It's right there in the headlines of the Post. It's right there on every single talk show, you know, host lips. It's, so to speak, it's out there, and it appeals to the lowest of the low.
And for all of us. Junior, by the way, on this psychometer, Anthony Weiner is at the far end of the chart under batshit insane. Just in case you were wondering, once a dark of the liberals frustrated with Democratic Party's often refusal to fight fire with fire, Anthony Weiner's slew of inappropriate online affairs finally caught up.
Well, you know, part of the problem with that is last week when you and I were talking, we didn't have all the details. I mean, the details on this are going to be coming out for weeks. You know, the fact that he was conversing with a 17-year-old.
I didn't know that. You know, to some degree, I've tried to stay away from this story because I don't have a lot of interest in Anthony.
No, you have not.
Well, you know, we said last week we felt an obligation to go after Anthony Weiner because we've been so brutal on the Republican sex scandals. We try to be fair here at the Podcast of Record, and if you can't slam Weiner, you don't belong on the Podcast of Record.
You guys are pretty funny.
We never said we were.
Tracy Morgan can slam Weiner, I'll tell you that.
And Rick Perry is on here. But I do want to make a comment about, or at least make read the quote about Ann Coulter, because in my mind, she's batshit insane, although she's listed here as approaching insanity. We never know how serious to take Ann Coulter's hate speech. But when she went on Hannity recently and stated that she was glad the Kent State massacre happened because that's what you do with a mob, she seemed to imply that the government should now mow down mobs more often,
yeah,
as long as they're full of Democrats. I think it's time to say Ann Coulter is batshit insane and there's something wrong. Not necessarily with her, but there's something wrong with listening to her. This woman is solely out to make money based on provocative, provocational speech, hate speech. She flat out hates Democrats. And the idea that Kent State's massacre was a good thing is hate speech, in my opinion.
All right. Now, can I just ask you one question? And I agree with everything that you've said. But what makes her, at that point, different from, say, Howard Stern?
Because Ann Coulter was once a clerk for a United States Supreme Court justice.
It's not the platform that she's on right now. I mean, I don't like her at all.
All right.
I don't think that she has a social redeeming quality. But I feel the same way about Rush Limbaugh.
And I feel the same way about
Howard Stern. However, I also understand that each one of them has the right to say and do what they say and do.
I don't object to her having the right to free speech. I believed that the Nazis should have been allowed to march in Skokie. But I think this is at that level. This is Nazi speak. Kent State massacre was a good thing? That's Nazi speak. And I know the whole thing about Nazis and the internet. The Kent State massacre was a good thing?
Like I said, there's lots of those kind of things are said.
I think it's hate speech, but four kids died a long, long, long time ago. And unfortunately, again, some of this has to do with the news cycle. I mean, is it worse to say Kent State was a good thing or, well, you know, Paul Revere was warning the British?
It's worth to say Kent State was a good thing.
No, it's more inflammatory, but it's not worse. Because, like Penguin says, we're talking about the person's platform. This is a woman who a lot of people are taking seriously as a presidential candidate.
No, no, we're talking about Ann Coulter.
No, he's saying Sarah Palin.
All right, Sarah
Palin
said
sorry.
That
Paul Revere was warning the British. And when Fox News, who you think would be on her side, said, oh, no, hon, you have that wrong, she said, no, I don't. He really was.
She's very pretty,
though. So which
And then her minions, as we mentioned last week, her minions took to Wikipedia and tried to change history.
So which is worse? Based on Penguin's platform statement, we have a problem if someone is thinking about electing someone who's that off the mark.
Okay.
And you know what? I feel
that's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but that
I
really
feel
is interesting.
Bad for the four kids who died and their families, and that's horrific. But you know what? Coulter's inflammatory and deliberately so. So in a sense, you know what you're going to get. When you open the package of writs, you're going to get writs.
But isn't that true of Tracy Morgan also? He's batshit insane, and you know what you're going to get?
He, on the other hand, said he would cause physical harm to his own child.
All right. It's a little bit worse, but he was trying to be funny.
Well, you know what? I'll bet you Ann Coulter thinks she was.
and Sarah Palin was not.
All right. Can I submit that Ann Coulter belongs in the intellectual category of Tracy Morgan?
No. She's a good deal smarter. She really is.
She is. That's true. But maybe that makes it worse. Do we care to talk about former Godfather Pizza CEO Herman Cain, who says that all laws out of Congress from now on should be 3 pages long?
Well, I think you can talk about it a little bit, but, I mean, you know, the demand's nuts. But he's going to garner a lot of support because just like Wiener on the headline of the Post, these laws are too complicated, plays right to the electors' level. Just like, you know, you see Wiener and you chuckle, or that guy who ran in New York who said the rent's too damn high. You get a nice little tidbit like that, and people jump all over it, and they love it.
Yeah, he was a cartoon character.
We can go back to Twain, because he said the only native criminal class in America is Congress.
Right.
Okay, do you guys know who Junry Balloing is? I want to say happy birthday to Junry because he had his birthday over the weekend. He turned 18, and he is 23.6 inches tall. And he is now, because he's 18, he's the world's shortest man.
We've talked about him before. It's Accidental Humor Day.
Happy birthday, Junry Balloing.
Happy birthday, Junry Balloing. You are the Countless Screaming Argonauts person of the day.
Hi, this is Miss Nicole of 8 Beer Sampler Productions. You've been listening to Max and T-Fab-P, the fabulous penguin of Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. Listen to their podcast adventures at csapodcast.blogspot.com or download it free from the iTunes podcast store. Just search Countless Screaming Argonauts. The boys love to hear from you, so email them at csapodcast@gmail.com. Finally, if you want to show your allegiance to the show, pick up some CSA swag and help make the boys famous. You can purchase hats, shirts, and mugs along with other appropriate gear at Cafe Press. Click the link on their webpage. And thanks for listening.